supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Exciting.
Good for you.
Good job. That's great. And I'm so happy to see so many Democrats embracing this.
He was alone for so many years in the United States Senate, you know, bringing forward the single-payer Medicare for All legislation. And now here it comes. He gets to introduce it with 14 other co-sponsors. It's terrific.
It is. It is. I am absolutely loving this. Okay, Donna, let's talk about this. Lawmakers at a hearing hope to shine light on opaque, mysterious inner workings of pharmacy benefit managers.
These pharmacy benefit managers have become huge middlemen for the big pharma and for the insurance industry. And they are part of what is driving the costs of pharmaceuticals up. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. They need to make money off of the product that they are moving for the pharmaceutical industry. So what may on its face seem like a great idea because they're going to manage costs and maybe gear patients towards generics when possible and all the things that they sell to the patients and perhaps to providers about what they're going to provide for them end up not being necessarily true because they're getting what they call rebates, but what we might call kickbacks.
Huh.
Yeah, no question.
Why are prescription drugs so expensive in this country? Why do they sometimes cost hundreds higher than what they would in another country? And the reality is because it's big pharma charging too much. It's the pharmacy benefit managers who are in the middle of the mix doing these rebates that they claim are all passed on to consumers. And if you believe that, what are we going to sell you next?
Thanks for listening. You can find more information about these topics at nursetalksite.com or nationalnursesunited.org.
This podcast is powered by National Nurses United, the nation's largest union for registered nurses.
There's a general sentiment today that multimillionaire corporate chieftains are pigs. But I think that's unfair to pigs. Those oinkers are remarkably intelligent animals with a sense of social responsibility to the common good of the group. Compare that ethic to the ethic of self-entitlement expressed by pompous and petulant corporate executives like hotel magnate Monty Bennett, who recently grabbed millions of dollars in economic relief meant for small businesses. It was so stinky that even the thievish Trumpistas made him return the money. Yet, a shameless Bennett continues to insist that he deserves a government bailout. What are all those taxes we paid supposed to provide us with anyway, he whined. Well, Monty, maybe with a literate workforce, clean water, paved streets, fire and police protection, and other public basics that subsidize your business. But our taxes aren't meant to guarantee your profit. Yet, Bennett flaunts his cluelessness. I won't apologize for being a capitalist in America, exclaimed this socialist capitalist in March as he was grabbing taxpayer handouts. Indeed, he's apparently a very poor capitalist. Last year, before the coronavirus catastrophe struck, the Ashcroft Trust that he heads had a $113 million loss and saw its stock value nosedive by 80%. Yet, he took special care of himself, pocketing $5.7 million in personal pay. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, Monty is in line for more government money from Trump and company's new $500 billion pot of cash exclusively reserved as emergency aid for giant corporations. Moreover, Bennett and his ilk can take this bailout with no requirement to use any of it to protect the paychecks or save the jobs of employees. They can even use our money to raise their own pay.
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% will try it by the time they reach 8th grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early, talk often. Get others involved. A message from the U.S. DHHS and the Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, they're arguing before the Supreme Court right now whether Donald Trump should be allowed to stay on the ballot. I've got a good recap for you on that. But Shannon Stevenson right now is the Solicitor General for the state of Colorado. Of course, Colorado's Supreme Court was who said Trump does not qualify to be on the ballot because he led an insurrection. And her testimony, I think, is fascinating and is fairly straightforward. There's been a lot of really technical stuff that I wouldn't just throw at you and put on the air. But I do want to play this live just for a little bit, just to get a sense of what Shannon Stevenson, the Solicitor General, she's making the argument Trump should not be on the ballot. Here it is.
Arises to that.
This is John Roberts, by the way, the Chief Justice, questioning her.
About one person having a set of facts that they said prove this would send this case to the 113 procedure that we use to resolve ballot challenge issues like that. And if another elector or the individual who brought the information didn't want to bring it, the secretary herself could bring that action.
Is there a provision for judicial review of the Secretary of State's action, both in Colorado and perhaps what you know about other states?
Well, certainly in Colorado, if any action that the secretary takes that anyone wants to challenge, they can use the 113 process to do so. I think states have varying degrees of that. There's certainly other states that allow versions of that. And then I don't know whether there are others that are don't. I certainly know that there are some that do.
I think we're told that there are states that do not provide for any judicial review of a Secretary's of State's determination. Is that incorrect?
No, I think that's right. And I think there are some states that actually have no mechanism to come to, I think, Justice Kagan's point, or there are some states that don't have any mechanism to exclude a disqualified candidate from the ballot at all. And I do want to speak to that for just a minute about the actual impact.
Would that be constitutional if the Secretary of State's determination was final?
I think so under Article 2, the Electors Clause, Your Honor, that would be constitutional. States get very broad authority to determine how to run their presidential elections.
Could a state enact a statute that provides different rules of evidence and different rules of procedure and different standards of proof for this type of proceeding than for other civil proceedings?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it could.
Yeah.
Under the same.
Let's cut away.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
We are Matt Nair on air at civicmedia.us. I did want to start off with this, Dr. Lyerly, because we got this last week. Unfortunately, we didn't get it around to it until before the end of the segment. But it was about white coat syndrome. And Wes from Middleton, listening on WRCE, says, I've been an ICU trauma nurse the better part of a decade, but I still get high strung when I go to the doctor. I fear no white coat at work, and yet for some reason, my doctor's office makes me so antsy, my blood pressure ticks up 30 to 40 points. This is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
My mother had it.
Yeah. Well, and you have to think, if you going to the doctor makes you that stressed out that your blood pressure goes up like that, what else in your life happens that makes your blood pressure go up like that? How often is your blood pressure actually like that? Because you're not checking it all the time. You know, there are ways that we can continuously monitor your blood pressure, but they're pretty invasive and you usually have to be in an inpatient setting to do that. If you had a blood pressure cuff at home, that would really give you a much more accurate assessment of what is the big picture of what's happening with your blood pressure. If you're just chilling out, you know, getting some work done, you're relaxed, your blood pressure is normal most of the time, you're probably okay. But if things happen in your life, you have an argument with your partner, something stressful is happening in your world, and you take your blood pressure and you notice that it's elevated, this might mean that it's more than what we call white coat hypertension. You can't just write it off as something that only happens in those little isolated, you know, once a year when you go to the doctor. Hopefully you do go to the doctor at least once a year for your preventive care. But if you are having more blood pressure issues, that puts more stress on your heart, and it makes it more likely that you could have a heart attack or a stroke. Now, importantly, February is Heart Month. And this is that month that it's really important for all of us to know heart disease is the number one killer of men and women. So if this is one thing that you can do, know what's going on with your blood pressure. Don't just dismiss it as white coat hypertension, white coat blood pressure problems, but really get a sense of what's going on with your blood pressure. That will give your heart a break. If you need to get on some sort of medication, if you need to cut sodium out of your diet, if you need to do some other sort of a lifestyle thing to make yourself healthier, to, you know, increase your longevity and your wellness for the rest of your life, then let's do it.
You're so right, Dr. Lyerly, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I will admit this. I shoved off my blood pressure problems for years. Years and years and years. My mother had high blood pressure. My sister has high blood pressure. This kind of runs in our family. I ignored it and shoved it off until about 2.5 years ago when I went in for my annual and she took my BP and she looked at me and she said, "Do we have your medical power of attorney on hand?"
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
And I was like, oh, my God, it's that bad that you are asking me who's going to take over when I'm dead. Yeah. So, and I started blood pressure pills. I take 2 pills. They're cost like $4 each a month. Blood pressure medication, for the most part, Dr. Lyerly, is relatively inexpensive, right?
It depends on the medication that you're on. Yeah, and there are lots of different types of blood pressure medication. There are lots of different things along the pathway, different ways that we can intervene. So even if you try something and you don't like it, it doesn't work for you for whatever reason, we can try something else. And importantly, you probably didn't know you had a blood pressure problem. You probably in the back of your head thought to yourself, maybe I do because I've got this whole family history, but I feel fine.
Yes.
And you'll probably feel fine even if you do have a blood pressure problem, but you'll feel fine until you don't, until it becomes a crisis, until your heart is tired and worn out and that muscle has been working so hard for so long. So this is one of those places where we can intervene early, get you on a medication or some lifestyle changes that can truly make a difference. And it's not a life sentence. It doesn't mean you have to be on a blood pressure medication. There are other things that we can do before we get to that point for many people.
Absolutely. It's exercise, right? It's quitting smoking. It's cutting down on alcohol intake. All of those things. If you're really anti-pill, and that was my thing. It's like, I don't take pills. I've never taken pills. I'd be a terrible junkie. I don't like to take pills.
But junkies get over it.
Right. But no, it really is crucially important. And ignoring it, you're not doing yourself, you're certainly not doing your loved ones any favors.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
It is hard.
We talked about this last week. We talked about how hard it is just to get to the doctor, because sometimes it's just nice to live in your little, you know, dome of ignorance where everything is fine until you go and find out that everything really isn't fine. And maybe you do need to take a pill, or maybe you do need to do something differently. It's that fear of the unknown and that not wanting to get there that prevents a lot of people from just going in and getting that screening done, that can really make a difference in the long run.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us every Thursday at this time for public cervix announcement. You can always call or text if you have a question at 844-967-2789. Going back, though, Dr. Lyerly, for folks who do have this white coat syndrome, you go to the doctor, your BP skyrockets. Is there any, I mean, do you meditate before you go into the doctor's office? What can you do to try and calm yourself down a little bit?
You can, but you know, again, what other things in your life make your blood pressure go up like that? You know that going to the doctor gets you all worked up because they take your blood pressure there. But what if you're in a stressful traffic environment? What if you have difficult interactions with your boss? What is your blood pressure then? And what are you going to do to keep your blood pressure in the normal range then? When your blood pressure gets above 160, that top number, which is the number that when your heart squeezes to squeeze that blood out of your heart into your arteries, that's the number that reflects. The bottom number reflects the filling number as your heart opens up and all the blood comes back in from your veins. So it's the systolic squeeze and the diastolic relaxation. If your numbers get above 160 over 110, you're in stroke territory. And it doesn't matter whether you're having white coat hypertension in your doctor's office or you're driving down the freeway. If you're stressed out and your blood pressure goes up like that, you are in danger.
That's terrifying.
I gotta go to the doctor.
Well, I'm gonna come and pay a house call to you, Greg, and bring my cuff.
And I'm not even kidding either. Like it's scaring me listening to you talk because my mother's side of the family, strokes, heart attacks. I am very overweight. I am very out of shape. I don't sleep right. I don't eat right. I don't treat myself with respect.
When is the last time you went to the doctor?
We'll get to that later.
Oh, let's look at him brushing us off.
No,
Dr.
I mean,
Lyerly.
Trust me. I'll give you Bridget's phone number right now, and she will give you every excuse I've given her not to go to the doctor. And I'm now getting to the point, and with every year that creeps up, I get more and more scared that I'm going to be driving down the road or walking or sitting on the couch and I will be dead. I know that's very heavy.
I don't think you're alone.
And
Dr. Lyerly, I don't think Greg is alone in avoiding the doctor. Papa Rico, even on our street yard, says some of us avoid stress so much so as to not even go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. I've done it before.
We'll get there.
It's just, I'm so tired all the time.
We're going to continue.
But I can't get there. I got to be there because that's what I keep telling myself. I'll get there. I'll do it. Next week, I'll go to the Y for 30 minutes. And that doesn't happen.
It's not that easy, though. And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Because if you're not sleeping well, that actually puts you at risk of having higher blood pressure and diabetes and heart issues, which then puts you at risk of not sleeping well. So it's all tied together, the mm-hmm. sleep, the eating, the movement, all of those things, the family history. Yes, I'm coming to Milwaukee. I'm coming to Milwaukee with my blood pressure cuff, and we're going to do a physical right in studio.
Okay, cool. Doctor, nothing embarrassing about that
Dr.
for me.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. If you have a question, 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, don't hang up. We will return. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show. Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. It is a wonderful app. And how much does it cost, Greg?
It's free 99.
It is free.
Free.
It is absolutely free. And you can listen all across the network to all of our stations all across Wisconsin. And if you have the app, you can call and text directly from the app too, which is a pretty snappy feature, if you ask me. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for our public service announcement. If you have a question, if you have a comment, 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, thank you for your patience, Cindy, and thank you for listening and joining. What did you want to ask the doctor?
Hello. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I don't have white coat syndrome when it goes to the doctor. I have it when I go to the dentist because I'm always wondering, okay, with this cleaning, because I get my cleaning every 6 months, what are they going to find going on in my teeth now? Because, you know, it seems like root canals and bad teeth are becoming more prevalent as I get older. And I don't think people understand how important your overall health, your oral health is. So that's where I get the white coat syndrome, is at the dentist office.
I feel that, Cindy. I really do. Thank you so much for calling. And she's right. I think you develop more dental issues as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. And oral health is connected to so heart. Many different aspects of your general health. Yeah.
Yep.
Your heart, for me, as a person who takes care of pregnant people, if you have bad oral health, you're at a higher risk of preterm delivery and other medical complications of your pregnancy. So it is really important. Cindy, I'm so glad that you go in every 6 months for your cleaning. I do too. And I find myself clenching my fists when I'm there and they're like in my mouth. And then I think to myself, this is level setting for me as a gynecologist to have this person like cleaning my mouth orifice, because when I am in someone else's orifice, it's not comfortable for them either. So it is. Yeah. We all have those.
That was the greatest poem I've heard since weather poetry this morning.
It's like
you had to be there.
It's like a little doctor reset.
Exactly,
for you, though.
Exactly.
That's really.
I have a friend who didn't go to the dentist for over 20 years. And for the past 2.5 years, he's been going fairly regularly with a plan with this dental team. And he's getting
there.
Cavities filled, teeth replaced. I mean, like major surgery construction done. And they're so proud of him.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom from Grafton is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Dr. Lyerly?
Sure. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I missed about the first 15 minutes of this important program, and I was wondering, I know you used to replay on Saturday afternoon, but I think that's over now, right? Because you've got...
We will have a podcast available for Best Of.
How do I do the podcast?
You just go to civicmedia.us, click where it says shows in the upper right-hand corner. You can download the episode on our show page, Matt and Air on Air, or you can go to wherever you get your podcast and you can subscribe to the show. And if you subscribe and get delivered, it will download every new episode for you. So you don't have to worry about that.
I've never done that in my life. I don't know how to do that, but,
Find a younger person. Calvin will send another resident young person, and we'll help you get that figured out. We've only got a couple of minutes, Tom. What was your question for Dr. Lyerly?
Well, I wanted to say that I too am starting to deal with blood pressure, but it's important to be able to breathe well. And I went to Advent about 6 years ago, and that helped. And I'm actually going back later in the month. to help you breathe and allow you to sleep more, about 4 to 6 hours at one sitting or one sleeping. And it's important to be able to sleep that time frame. I'd also like to say too, with the teeth, I floss now every day, and it's good to be able to floss, because if you floss often, you don't bleed in your mouth, and then you're less likely to get disease through your mouth cavity, like the doctor was saying.
Yeah, it's one of those things we should all do, Tom, right? And we all go to our dental hygienist and we lie. Maybe that's just me. Oh yes, I floss twice a day. Oh, of course I do. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Do you know where I floss? I floss in the car.
Oh, I keep was like what are you going to say?
No, not like that. I floss my teeth in the car.
I like, honestly, like, I can't, like, I don't know what it is. Flossing for me is not that it doesn't work. I can do it, but only certain teeth. I use a water pick. Water picks for me are more comfortable.
Those are good too. Yeah.
And, you know, they just, I, if you don't have a water pick, get one in your life. I just want to let Andrew from Maine know, you texted a question. I don't think we have enough time to get to it, but I'm going to screenshot this and we can cover it next week.
Yep.
It's about availability of medical records. So, Andrew, if you're listening next week, we'll get you covered.
And I did want to put this up as well. A comment from PJ on the live stream basically says, your teeth are a direct line to your heart. So there really is a big correlation there between oral health and heart health.
Think about it. If your teeth aren't healthy and that bacteria is growing in your mouth and then you're swallowing and eating food and that food is going into your gut, you know, like it makes perfect sense that it doesn't, that it affects your health.
Humans are gross.
Well, yes, thank you. It's the leakage and it's all the sputum and the look.
The leakage.
If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, text it in at 844-967-2789 or send us an email. And again, Andrew from Maine, we will address that when we start out with Dr. Lyerly next Thursday when she returns for our next round of public cervix announcement. Love your hat. Make vulvas great again, Dr. Lyerly.
Bring us some.
And let us
bring
know.
Bring us some hats?
Bring us some hats and bring us some BP cuffs the next time you come to Waukesha.
House call to Waukesha.
House call to Waukesha. Sounds good.
I did tell Greg, though, that we could skip the hernia check and the prostate exam for now.
Then why? Why are we bothering them?
Then why even come?
Well, I mean, are you requesting that?
Yes, well, it's okay. The full service station here, I guess, you know, whatever.
All right. We'll work these details out off the air. Thank you, Dr. Lyerly. We will see you next week.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Coming up, we have news and entertainment minute from Peach Schwabba. When we return, we're talking all things sports with JS sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe.
You did it.
Thank you. That's all on the way. Stay here. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Migrant farm workers in Wisconsin are getting more protection against disease and illness. New regulations require employers to offer shade and breaks when the temperature hits 80 degrees. Showerheads and urinals will need to be upgraded, and so will access to washers and dryers. 125 companies operated more than 260 regulated migrant labor camps in Wisconsin last year. Congress is hammering out a compromise bill to address the large number of people seeking asylum in the United States. Vina Iyer is an immigration law expert. She says misinformation about refugees' motives is making matters worse.
We're concerned about those folks trying to cross unsafely, being exploited.
Iyer says a southern border crackdown will make things more dangerous for people seeking asylum. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. A student at Edgewood College was arrested Wednesday after police found an unloaded gun and ammunition in his dorm room. Police were investigating the student for allegedly physically assaulting another student Tuesday night. They found the gun after a search of his dorm, and they were arrested for carrying a gun on campus. Edgewood officials say that they are working with Madison police to investigate the incident, and the unauthorized presence of a firearm on campus will not be tolerated. The Winter Carnival at the Memorial Union is still on, but looks a little different this year. They've had to cancel all their on-ice events due to the recent warm weather, leaving too little ice on Lake Mendota. Lady Liberty can still be seen, though they've moved her onto the shore, and they've added some new events to make up for the loss of the ice. The Winter Carnival will run through this Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wiggehout, WMDX News.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Gus Fring, also known by his real-life name of Giancarlo Esposito, star of Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, will play the lead in a new show for AMC called Parish. The show is a thriller set in the town of New Orleans. While speaking at a recent presser, Esposito called New Orleans a city of demons. On the show, he plays a luxury car dealer who will take them all on. Car salesman versus demons. That's a tough one. The series premieres March 31st, and I will be watching, as a network AMC has a lot of street cred. Looking for a new show? Check out Fool Me Once on Netflix. Variety reports that the show just became the 9th most viewed English-language TV show ever on Netflix. The show follows Maya Stern as she tries to solve her husband's murder. For last week alone, Fool Me Once was the 4th most watched show on Netflix, which is exactly when I had the pleasure of binging said program. Love me some color television. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We've got it all today.
Near record warmth as highs soar to the low 50s, thanks to strong winds gusting out of the south up to 35 miles per hour. We'll see pockets of sunshine, cloudy skies, scattered showers, and even a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon and into the evening. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
At my company, we're always looking for people who are passionate and ready to work, but it's not always easy. It's time to broaden our horizons. In Wisconsin, about 600,000 people with disabilities are ready and able to work. People that just need you to believe in them and say yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Changes. Turn and face the strange. Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Switch on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon ruined. Just a reminder, tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Milwaukee Bucks. The game is at 6:30. You can listen on locally grown radio, WFHR, our friends in Wisconsin Rapids, on 1320 AM and 97.5 FM. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe. How you doing, J.R.?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys
today? We are wonderful, thank you. Bucks hosting tonight, and there's a NBA trade deadline.
Indeed, yes. Today is the day. We're really in the midst of it here because it's, 11:35 or so? We've got till 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, that's the official deadline, and already there have been some teams around the league that have made some trades. Nothing that's going to, you know, change the course of history, presumably. And the Bucks have been very, very active. That's sort of been the theme of this trade deadline, is that the Bucks seem to be in on every player. I would say that's not really common, but it sounds like they're just really in desperate search of some help defensively. There are a few names that have been floated. There isn't going to be like a perfect fit out there. The Bucks famously have traded all of their future draft capital, their first round picks, and most of the assets that other teams would want are kind of not theirs anymore, as they have tried to improve the team in past years for, you know, championship runs. They don't have a lot of assets to give for future drafts. They've already promised those to other teams. So it's a tough needle to thread. The general manager, John Horst, has shown that he can work with not a lot of, you know, with some limitations and create some pretty good roster moves that help the team. So we've got a couple hours here, but I know a lot of people in Bucks Nation are watching attentively, seeing if they can land somebody who's going to help this team out.
How are you feeling about Doc Rivers?
I mean, it's just too early to get a really good sense. And I mean, the whole thing with Doc Rivers that everyone is afraid of is his postseason track record. He's literally, the man has coached nine guys who are already in the Hall of Fame, and nine separate guys who probably will be in the Hall of Fame. Not for sure, but most of them for sure, and maybe all of them. So, and that includes Giannis and Damian Lillard on the Bucks team. He just hasn't gotten very far. He's won one title. He's gotten to another finals, but in 24 years, there's only been one other like Eastern Conference finals. Even he's just continued to fall short in that category. So I think the concern is what happens at the end of the year. Not so much now, even though the Bucks are struggling right now. They've had some injuries. Chris Middleton just left this last game. He's probably out now until after the All-Star break in the middle of this month. Brooke Lopez has been gone from the team with personal reasons. Damian Lillard missed that game. And the Bucks are so they're hurting. They're not winning. They're out on this West Coast trip, and they've lost 4-5. So people are in a bad place right now. But I don't think that's Doc Rivers. There's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be an on ramp here. So I'm not. It certainly doesn't point to him yet. A lot of data still to collect. I still think right now he is probably the right guy for this job. It just remains to be seen how that plays out when we get to the important part of the year.
Well, that begs a question then from me, as a not so in-depth basketball person, which is, it was Coach Adrian's first year, right, with the mm-hmm. team. What, and when he was fired, they had a winning season. So the learning curve for him versus Doc Rivers, how long will it be extended? And why are we talking learning curves when Adrian was given half a season, then he was out?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really good question and important point. And some of that is stuff we'll never know.
Yeah.
You know, what was it that made it so clear that midway through a season in which they were like 30-13,
yeah,
was Adrian Griffin simply not up for this task? And that's, I think they basically are admitting they made a mistake and brought in a guy with not enough experience to match what this team's aspirations are.
Yeah.
And more than that, when they hired Adrian Griffin, Damian Lillard wasn't on the team yet. They hadn't made that trade. So mm-hmm. the team that Adrian Griffin thought he was taking over is completely different than the team they got. Now, one player doesn't normally make that. Yeah, one player does make a big difference. I don't know if it makes such a difference that you like, well, we need a completely different coach. I think they just, you know, they did give him half a season to overcome this suspicion that maybe he just doesn't have the acumen for this.
Yeah.
And then they moved on. Doc Rivers, he's not going to get a big runway. He's not, you know, if they don't win a championship this season, there will be a lot of people who lay that at the feet of Doc Rivers. He does get more than a couple weeks to learn the personnel when he parachuted in midway through a season. Yeah. And to figure out what they were doing, what wasn't working, what is working, you know, how to tweak what they've already got. This is a tougher job than taking over at the beginning of a season.
Yeah.
But Doc Rivers has 24 years of experience, so you would expect that if anyone can parachute in and do it, it's him. I do think they'll give him – they're going to give him, you know, obviously the rest of the season. They're paying three coaches. They can't afford another one.
Right.
So they'll give him the rest of the season and to really figure – and presumably beyond. But it is about the playoffs, and that is why he's here.
JS sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe is here as he is every
other. It's a tongue twister.
As he is every other Thursday. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's the other thing too. Is from what you know from my friends who are much more adept at this. Doc Rivers was working with the Bucks before they hired him, right? He was doing some consulting. Is that correct, or is that a rumor they passed along to me?
That is also a rumor I heard. I don't know if we've gotten official confirmation. Now it's probable that he was at least and consulting. Is such a big nefarious term. Nefarious is the wrong word, but it could mean anything. Nebulous. It could mean anything. It could mean that he took a couple meetings. It could mean that he was sitting in on practices. I don't think he was very hands-on. He's been working with ESPN. I don't think he certainly wasn't in the building all the time or anything like that. And there wasn't a lot reported about that connection. So I don't know exactly. I'm fairly certain that you don't let go Adrian Griffin unless you have some sense that somebody of Doc Rivers' caliber who is available is interested in the job. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, really up a creek if you make that move without having some plan B in mind. So I am sure there was a relationship. I don't know how deep that went. And I don't know if it was extended to, he's here just in case Adrian Griffin doesn't work out and then we have this plan B. I don't think it was quite that official or anything like that.
Gotcha.
Moving, and so what, it's 52 degrees today now in downtown Waukesha. It's absolutely incredible, and I think this leads baseball fans to have thoughts of baseball.
It could be zero, I'm still thinking about baseball.
Thinking about baseball. That is Greg's sport, is baseball. What's up with the Brewers? What kind of moves are they up to?
Yeah, so they've made some interesting moves lately. Well, as everyone knows by now, they traded Corbin Burnes, their ace starting pitcher, to the Baltimore Orioles for a couple promising prospects, guys who aren't like top 10 prospects in baseball by any means, but guys who will probably help them in the short term, like in 2024, and then beyond, hopefully. Certainly they'll be here in 2024, and some, whether right away, I don't know, but probably right away. And that was a pretty controversial move in among Brewers social media, because Corbin Burnes has had four tremendous seasons. He's a Cy Young winner. Did they get enough for him is a fair question. Are they giving up in some way, shape, or form on 2024? He is a free agent after this season. The Brewers, no one thought the Brewers were going to be able to bring him back or had the relationship with him to bring him back. So it's 1 year of a great pitcher, the team's best pitcher the last few years, for a couple guys. And then you have to ask who's going to pitch for them. So they signed a guy named Jacob Junis, who's most recently pitched with the San Francisco Giants. Last night, they signed a catcher named Gary Sanchez, who has had a decent track record offensively and is actually quite a bit better defensively than I thought he was. He'd still be a backup catcher. Those two guys, the amount of money they make is almost exactly what Corbin Burnes was making, above the guys they got back. So, like, they pretty much were like, okay, we got a little extra money. We're going to go spend it on a couple guys, upgrade in a couple places, pitching depth, catching depth, and does it all come out in the wash? I don't think so necessarily, but they are looking at it a little. They're looking at ways to kind of sneak through here and also get something for this frontline starting pitcher who wasn't going to be here after this season.
My next question is hindering on a truth here. If it's true that Corbin Burnes found out that he was traded via Twitter, and if that is true, isn't that just the cherry on the sundae of how disrespectful the Brewers really were to him in the past season and a half? I mean, going to arbitration for $650,000, and you got literally one of the best pitchers in the league, and you don't do everything you can to make him stay and to make him feel welcome. I just feel like the last few seasons were the fact that he even made it through the entirety of last season is shocking to me.
So Burns did find out before he saw it anywhere. He said he found out about a half hour before the rest of the world, which tracks. That's
okay.
These moves leak out so quickly, so teams aren't keeping a lot of people in the loop, and they're pretty much, you know, they have to announce it pretty shortly after it's consummated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is normal. As far as last season, and Burns had very nice things to say about the Brewers. It doesn't, you know, if there is a lingering resentment, he didn't betray that. You're referring to the arbitration process last year when they famously went to an arbitration fight. The Brewers won. It ended up being a difference of less than $700,000 for his salary last year. There's a lot baked into that, including league-wide implications for – and it actually came to pass where Zach Gallen, another Cy Young caliber pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, just went to arbitration, and he got slightly more than what Burns made last year. If Burns had made all the money that he wanted last year, then Zach Gallen would have probably made more this year, because it just sort of, it's all about comparisons with other contracts, similar players, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a Brewers fan, you're like, I don't care about the rest of Major League Baseball. I care about the Brewers. Pay your best guy the money he wants, especially when it's less than $1 million, especially when it's not my money, and make him as happy as you possibly can. I completely understand.
Are you reading my diary?
You shouldn't leave it open on the coffee table at work, Greg. It's just not a good idea.
Whatever.
I completely understand that. I agree with it in some respects. I understand the complexities of the arbitration process, but if you're a team that just can't compete with the big dogs and free agency and stuff, make the players you have as happy as possible if they're amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they're not amazing, make them as happy as you can.
Yeah.
Build a good organization, and then, you know, you don't have a situation where a player's like, yeah, they said horrible things about me. That's what happens in an arbitration hearing. But you just do not want it to get to that point. You cannot afford for it to get to that point. So that was a miss. The Brewers avoided all the arbitration cases this year, including one with Devin Williams that could have gone to arbitration. They made it a point to sign him and buy out his last year of arbitration. It's not lost on me that maybe that's, you know, a reflection of what happened last year. They don't want to see their star players speaking badly about this organization, talking about how awful this process is. Because, I mean, nobody wants to go through that, but especially when it's a star player, it looks really bad for the Brewers.
Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. In the couple of minutes that we have left, J.R., I think the big important question is Taylor Bowl.
Taylor Swift, yes.
Taylor Bowl on Sunday. I think
it's
we should
a big
just
one.
I think we should just rename it and call it that.
I thought you were going to ask about the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, well, that obviously is the bigger story of Sunday.
My daughter has asked about that many times. She's like, are we sure the Puppy Bowl is airing here? And I'm like, it's...
It's the 20th anniversary, JR.
I have Bally's. It better be on. You know,
we cut the cord. Can we still get the Puppy Bowl?
Team Ruff versus Team Fluff with the Vince Lombardi trophy up for grabs.
That's the one thing I don't like about being in the dog world now is y'all have to make everything a pun.
Oh, stop it. Don't crush
and I'm saying that.
Don't pee on my joy.
Don't yuck your yum.
Life is rough, Greg, but I am a big fan of Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. If they're still involved, I have no idea. I am probably going to get more invested than that than the actual game because the Chiefs versus the 49ers is boring.
Is it boring?
Really, why is
it boring? Well, I think we just did this in 2019. They just had one of these where the Chiefs played the 49ers.
I don't know if you know this, JR, but they do this every year.
I know. I'm saying there's no variety here. The Chiefs have won a bunch. They obviously are, you know, defending champions. They're very fun to watch. I got nothing against them, and I'm happy for Taylor Swift and all her legion of fans. All that's great. I have no problem with that. I'm just bored with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. They've had a lot of success. It'd be fun to see Baltimore or Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Detroit would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing, really cool. And I think, you know, the poor Lions fans. There was just so many people pulling for him. It would have been great.
I would have bought a Lions hat and wore it. I would. So be pro Lions.
Any predictions for the outcome on Sunday?
I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I'm not impressed with the 49ers in the playoffs so far, but it's going to come down to the last. Well, I hope it does. I hope it comes down to the last few drives or drive. That makes great theater, you know. So at least I'm hoping for at least that. When we get into Super Bowl, two teams I don't care about, just make it competitive. Make it a fun play that we talk about for years to come. That's all you really need.
Is that so much to ask? I don't think
it's so.
J.R. Radcliffe.
I'm going to be stuffing my face with pizza rolls, so what does it matter, you know?
He joins us every other Thursday. Thank you so very much, J.R. And go Team Fluff. That's all I'm going to say.
Go Team Ruff.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Stay here. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you. You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Alba Show.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Fun show today, just flew.
You know, we're fun people here at the John Nair on Air. We just have a good time.
We try.
We try to have a good time.
Tomorrow, Dan Schaefer will be here. We're going to be recombobulating on Fridays with Dan instead of our usual Tuesdays.
We got some cool guests coming up next week, too. Yeah. Can we announce the one?
Go for it.
For me, this is very cool. Milwaukee City engineer Kevin Muse, I believe that's a M-U-H-S, Muse, will be here. And we're going to be talking about the city's plan and goal of creating safer spaces for pedestrians, for drivers.
It's called traffic calming.
There you go. Yeah, there it is. He was featured in a video I saw, and I was like, whoa, my gosh, he's getting like national attention for the work he's doing. Let's have him on the show. So we'll be talking to Mr. Muse, and I'm very excited about that. And a couple other ones too. We're working. They got some in the
We got some in the works. I did want to share this before the top of the hour news. This came out this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece from Alex Groth and Andrew Hahn. This is a Beyond the Cheese edition. If Wisconsin was a country, Greg Buck.
Yes.
Wisconsin would be the fourth largest producer of cheese in the world. In the world, baby.
Okay. All right.
Wisconsin produced more than 3.5 billion. Billion.
With a B, people.
With a B, baby. 3.5 billion pounds of cheese in 2022. That is equivalent to some 8,700 Boeing 747s with doors or 158 Eiffel Towers.
Boom roasted.
Or 158 Eiffel Towers.
Why do we use such ridiculous...
Because it's fun.
We made as much cheese as 2.8 million versions of my friend Chad.
The most common types of cheese in Wisconsin in 2022. Wisconsin led the nation in the production of cheeses like cheddar. We have the finest extra sharp cheddar cheese, I think. The only thing that would be a close second would be Irish white cheddar.
Okay. See, I have friends in Europe who think our cheese is funny. Because it's orange and yellow.
So they only have white cheese.
Yeah, they're snobs about it. They're like, your cheese is gross. It's like, you've never had it.
Well, you have to try.
You've never had a Kraft single?
That's processed cheese food. I always like that they had to clarify that it counted as food.
You don't like it when your cheese bubbles on a big pile of meat?
We are number one in the country for cheddar Munster.
I love Munster cheese. Oh.
Feta, which I would never have imagined.
Feta is very good, too.
Feta is lovely. Limburger, that's a more specific kind. Little tangier there.
Yeah, little stinkier.
A little bit there. Parmesan, Romano, and provolone. Love a good provolone.
I love provolone.
I do, too. Mozzarella and other styles accounted for almost a third of the cheese by weight. produced in Wisconsin in 2022. U.S. Department of Ag says Colby, Jack, and Monterey accounting for another 30% of cheese. This is a great thing to hang our hats on.
There we go.
I have been talking to our friend Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe.
Lucky.
Who is now part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Heck,
and you
yeah.
can hear her reports at the bottom of the hour, which makes me very, very happy. So we're going to be having her on later in early in March. Early
I
in
March.
Early in March, Pam's going to be back. She is a very, very busy person. She attends conferences all over the country.
Yeah.
She speaks at events. She's very involved with the FAA and all that stuff. And we love her. And she just brings a whole different.
The FAA?
Future FFA. Sorry. She's also in.
She lives in Oshkosh.
She's also in aviation.
Yeah.
Who she's knew? A. She's so.
Pam Yonke's a plane.
Sorry about that, Pam. The FFA, Future Farmers of America. But she brings a whole wealth of knowledge about the agriculture industry and what's happening in the agriculture industry. And speaking of that, tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow is going to be joining us.
Fantastic.
At 10:33.
I've met the guy. He seems nice.
He seems like a reasonable guy.
Yeah.
He has Up North News WI. UpNorthNewsWisconsin.com.
Yep.
And has a great article about our stalled farm bill.
Yeah.
Which is still stalled.
You know, I got to say, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, I've learned to love a lot of things about this state. And one of the things I've grown very, very akin to is the farmers of our state. And learning as much as possible. That's why I really suggest, if you can't listen to the farmer's report, it is on early in the morning.
Yeah.
You can download it as a podcast. Learn about the farmers in this state. Learn about what they go through.
And what they deal with, yes.
And what they have to deal with. People, city people like us, politicians. It's a shock that they don't just throw their equipment down and go,
and
you
quit.
Make your own food then.
And quit. Yeah.
So yeah, I can't wait to listen to Pam and Pat talk about the state of farming here. Because I think they are some of the most important people.
Pam was soliciting for stories from, because again, city kids, I don't think about this. This is baby season. This is animal baby season.
Ah, yes. I was like,
and
wait, what?
It's all mud right now.
Yes.
And so she was just looking for stories on how are you taking care of your animals in this season of mud?
Yeah.
And what a mess that's got to be. So Pam Yonke, another wonderful asset to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're so happy to have her along. All right. News is coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Father, the Todd Albaugh Show from noon until 3 p.m. Thank you so very, very much sincerely for listening and calling and for texting. And I hope you have the chance to find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
Nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tune in Thursday for a special Devil's Advocates Crudy live in Vegas for a rigged caucus to favor Trump and the Supreme Court hears oral arguments. Tune in Devil's Advocates 4 to 6.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump on the ballot. I'm